Hey y'all, this is your host of the Regina Perkins Show. This is Regina Perkins herself. Bless you all today. Thank you all for logging on today. I appreciate you all this here on this Tuesday afternoon. Some of you may be on your lunch break or wherever you may be. I praise God for you all just listening in. If you're listening in to the replay or wherever you may be at, bless you all for just joining in and logging on. I pray today that the word that I'm about to give you will bless your soul. Hallelujah. I praise you all. If you're any of you are following me on Facebook, if you're not, follow me on Facebook. I did put a post up on yesterday signifying the new show and everything that I'm doing with the Regina Perkins Show and the expansion that I'm getting ready to do with the show. I hope to take it up from amongst just on the podcast and out among the people in different venues and different outlets. So I want you guys to be in prayer for that. So do follow me on Facebook. Follow me, Regina Perkins, on Facebook. You can also follow the Regina Perkins Show on Facebook. And make sure you connect with me on the Regina Perkins Show page that's on Facebook, what's on that show. I'm going to be putting teachings up. I'm going to be doing some videos. I'm going to be doing some teachings on the supernatural. Get ready. Look for those different teachings on things that will take you to another level. I don't want to just give you anything that will just tickle the ears, but I want to give you something that will take you to that place of in another level with God. I pray you all continue to follow that and just enjoy the videos and the teachings that I'm going to put up. Stay tuned, you know, so different things that I want to do to be able to bring you into that place. I feel that like the Lord is unctioning me to do some more things on the lines of equipping and training his people. So get ready for those things. And I don't mean just equipping and training and some of this stuff that people are doing and then some dry stuff. We're not talking about that. We're talking about actually learning how to move in the things of the spirit, learning how to knowing your place in God, knowing your dominion, your authority, and your power, knowing how to get a prayer through, not just how to pray and pray the Acts model and all that kind of stuff, knowing how to get a prayer through to God, knowing God for yourself and having a relationship with him where you're able to come to a place of dominion. And I just want to talk to you on today about that very subject. We talked about relationship. God began to speak to me today about relationship versus religion. Let me get it for you guys. Relationship versus religion. And God brought something up into my spirit. And he said, there's a lot of us in the body of Christ that we have an incomplete deliverance. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. When I say an incomplete deliverance, that means that we've been converted. We came to know who God is. We've came into the body of Christ and we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. You went through the conversion process. But after you go through the conversion process, there is another level that you need to go to. And that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us think that after we come to know the Lord, that there is not that's it. You know, I've accepted the Lord into my heart. I've recited the sinner's prayer, and now I'm saved. But then there's another level. There's another measure of the anointing, and there's the baptismal of the Holy Spirit. And when God begins to call you and bring you into a closer place with him, he begins to he wants to empower you for service. I remember when I first got saved, I went to a lot of deliverance. And I want to be able to bring some of that to the forefront when I do some of the teachings on my page. I want to be able to talk to you about some of those things because these are things that nobody wants to talk about. There's a lot of deliverance, a lot of things that I see parents doing with their children, things that they're allowing their children to look at, engage in. And you don't know that those things actually build strongholds. They actually build up things in you that later on in life, you're going to wrestle with those things. And you're going to wonder where did that come from? You're going to wonder why am I acting the way I'm acting? Or why am I so enamored or caught up with some of the things that you're caught up in? And it's because of the seeds that have been planted long time ago, before you even had a choice in the matter. The scripture says we were born into sin and shaped in iniquity. So that word iniquity means tendencies. We all have a tendency towards certain sins and certain things that we do that are not conducive to our spiritual growth. Those are called iniquities. Those things come from the bloodlines. Those are tendencies to sin. You know, I hear many say, well, there's no such thing as a generational curse. No, the iniquities are passed down. So you will find yourself engaging in activity that maybe that came from your ancestors or your forefathers. See, follow me. So when I talk about an incomplete deliverance, when we come to know the Lord and we come to a place of conversion where we've accepted it into our heart, then there's another level, another measure that's called the baptismal of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I brought up the fact that when I first got saved, I went through a lot of deliverance is because I went through a lot of deliverance and God brought me to another, but then there was another place, another level when God cleaned me out and purged me out and delivered me from all those demons and those things that, because if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord, then you have a spirit, you have a demon. When he delivered me from all of those demons, then the next step, he filled me with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's a feeling, there's a process, a purging process that you must go through. There's a cleansing process that you must go through. See, because I didn't know a battle till I got saved. I didn't know a battle till I accepted the Lord. Hallelujah. And I can't wait to tell y'all about that, what I went through. I didn't know what a demon was till I decided to get saved. I didn't know I had a demon till I decided to get saved. Oh, come on now. So what I'm saying to you is this. When God began to purge those things out of me, God began to tell me to remove things from my house. He said, you know what? I had every kind of Halloween. I had every kind of Halloween because I was that mother, had four girls. So each holiday, I made sure my house was decked out with all of the decorations and everything. And I remember for Halloween, we would have a little yard full and everything was just spooky, creepy. And you know, it was for the kids. It was trick or treat, see. And see, we got to understand that the enemy moves in a place where we think things are okay, but they're really not. See, I done got off topic. We think things are okay, but they're really not. So when I got saved, the Lord said, you know what? I want you to take all of that stuff that you have in your house and get it out. I begin to clean things out of my home. I begin to take things and put it in the trash. And I remember one particular day, I began to pull some things out some demonic stuff. You know, we Halloween, we think it's innocent, but it's not. And that particular day when I threw everything in the trash, I remember walking into my kitchen, and mind you, I had not been saved a good, 6 months or more. If not even that, probably not. I'm talking about new birth, new Christian. I didn't know anything about a demon. I didn't know anything about deliverance. I didn't know anything about any of these things. But when I took all of that stuff out of my house and I throwed it in the trash, I remember sitting down in my dining room table and I opened up my Bible. And when I began to open up my Bible, I began to read for whatever reason, you know, the Holy Spirit knows. I began to read my Bible out loud. I did not know that I was purging and cleansing my house out. And when I began to read my Bible out loud, there was a blood-curdling scream that came from my own being that I didn't even realize was me. Oh, sorry. Y'all don't want to talk about this. But there was a blood-curdling scream that came out. And those were spirits. See, that's why you have to be careful what you bring into your house and what you attach yourself to, because those things bring spirits. They transfer spirits. So don't let nobody tell you that, oh, Halloween is the end. No, it's not. Because when I threw those things out, that demon had to go out because he now had no place in me. He now had no attachment. He had no territory. He had no authority. Oh, my God. He had no place that he could grasp onto. He had nothing that he can hold onto anymore. So when I released it, then that demon had to go. He was trespassing on territory. That's why you don't open up doors to everything. Because the enemy, you give the enemy legal rights into your life. But I said all that to say this. When God delivered me from all of that stuff, the Holy Spirit began to move in. The devil moves out and God moves in. And I remember one day when I was in prayer, and I'm talking about I was a fresh Christian. I'm talking about I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know any of this stuff. So these are my experiences. This is not something I read in a book. This is what God allowed me to walk through. And I often ask the Lord for years, God, why did you take me through that? That what I just told you was just a snippet of what I went through. I asked the Lord, why did you take me through such strong deliverance? Why did you allow me to experience things that everybody around me was saying, oh my God, are you crazy?
But during that period of time, God was purging out those things. Even as a child, things that I dibbled in that we played with Ouija boards. You can buy them out the store. We thought that was nothing. But God said those things had a legal right into my spirit. So when God began to remove those things from me, hallelujah, that you didn't even know was there. Hallelujah, glory to God. When God began to take those things from me, then the Holy Spirit could have room, make room for God. I like Jonathan Reynolds' song, Make Room for God. That's when God was able to move in. Hallelujah. And so I want to tell you, the day that I went to pray, I felt something really tight in my belly. And I didn't understand what I was feeling. And I was like, it was a very strange, weird feeling I had never felt before in my life. And I was like, what is this I'm feeling? And I'll stop for a minute and I'll even begin to rebuke myself because it's like, oh my God, do I have a demon in me? What is going on? And I remember I went to pray and it's like I could get nothing out of my mouth. There was a muttering that was going on, almost a groaning in a sense. And I didn't know anything about speaking in tongues or a Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about my heavenly language. I didn't know. So I remember going to church and I remember being prayed for at the altar, and that feeling came again and those words began to start trying to come out of my mouth, that muttering. And I remember the woman of God who was praying for me, the intercessor, the minister who was laying hands and praying for me. She said, God is trying to give you your heavenly language. So she gave me a language for what I was going through. And see, it's good because what I went through was a hard, tough, difficult time, but I had no grid for it. So I couldn't come up with any religious jargon. I couldn't manipulate the process because I had no grid for what I was going through. I had no jargon for it. I had no Christianese. I had no language for it. I had no history of the church. So God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And he began to bring me into a growth level with him. I began to get more hunger and hunger. The hunger and thirst for him was voracious. I didn't have to make myself read the Bible. The hunger and thirst for him was voracious. And I don't want to give up because I'm going to come back and I'm going to do another show about and tell you the whole process of the deliverance that I went through. But what I'm saying is that we have to get to a place where when we're filled with the Spirit, then we'll get to a place where it's no longer religion, but God wants a relationship with you. And so God led me to Ezekiel 37 today. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to it right quick. And God began to talk to me about the Valley of Dry Bones. And God began to talk to me about this incomplete deliverance. He said, in chapter 37 of Ezekiel, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and called me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy. Now this is Ezekiel. God has come to him. He said, he takes him up out in the spirit of the Lord. He takes him out in vision. He sets him down. And then, as a matter of fact, he said he carried him out in the, it was a vision, in the spirit of the Lord. And he set him down in the midst of a valley, which was full of dry bones. Now, mind you, this was a grave, obviously, because bones were there. This was a grave. And not only was just a grave, it said, the scripture go on to say the valley was full of bones. And he said, he caused me to walk around it. So he caused him to look at it. I want you to inspect it. I want you to take it in where you at. And he said, behold the bones. And that word behold means to see. I want you to fix your eyes upon it. Behold them. And he said, there were very many in the open valley. And then this, I want you to catch this. They were very dry. So that means they've been like that for a while. There was no flesh left up on the bones. They were very dry. That means that they've been exposed to the elements and the sun. That means that those bones have been laying there for a while. And he said unto me, he asked him these questions. Now, you're talking about, you're going to ask somebody, can some bones live? It's another thing to ask someone, can a person who maybe have just died, can they live again? And you feel hope that you can resurrect them and lay hands. Well, you know what, God, I'm going to pray and call life back into them. But what if there's bones? Not just bones. This person has been dead so long that there's no flesh left. The maggots and everything, everything, deterioration, everything is, the skin is gone. It's rotted. There's no flesh left. It's deteriorated. And so not only had it deteriorated, it was very dry. So it had been there for a while. And God asked you the question, can these bones live? That's enough right there to just freak you out. Can these bones live? And I probably would have said the same thing that Ezekiel said. He said, Lord, you know. He said, only you know this. Only you can handle this. I don't know. For as me, I'm sir, I have no clue. For as my human fleshness, flesh, I think in my mind, in my human psyche, in my humanity, no. But he said, Lord, you know. Ezekiel put it back in his hands. And he said, now this is what I want you to do. Prophesy unto these bones. Prophesy, preach to them. And tell them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now God's going to show you the power of his word and how his, the Bible script, the scripture says his word is spirit and it is life. He said, prophesy to these dry bones and tell them this. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. Watch this. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, this is an incomplete deliverance. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So when I talked about an incomplete deliverance, when Ezekiel began to prophesy to those dry bones, when he began to speak the word of God to those bones and tell them to live, the flesh came back upon them. The sinews came back upon them, the ligaments and the tendons, and it came back together. And we looked at it, it looked like a whole complete man. But as you can see, even though it was a whole complete man, the Bible says that there was no breath in them. And the word breath means there was no spirit in them. There was no life in them. The Holy Spirit had not breathed in them. There was no ruach in them. The Holy Spirit. So we see men now, and I want to compare this to the body of Christ. And some churches that we go to and some places that we find ourselves in where it's caught up in religion and not relationship. Because when you look at men, you see them as whole. You see the flesh up on their bodies. You hear the noise and it seems like there's a racket and a noise. But the scripture says it's a form of godliness, but it's denying the power thereof. You hear the noise. You see all of the lights, the camera, and the action. You hear the, you see the flesh, and to the natural eyes and to the natural man, it seems like that person is whole. But the scripture says, Bible says, he said there was no breath in them. That means there was no Holy Spirit. And that's a lot of us right now. We're dealing with a lot of stuff that we're going through right now because the Holy Spirit is not in it. Yeah, it looks good. It sounds good. But where is God? Where is the spirit of the Lord? Where is God's breath? Because until God breathed upon you, just like when he created man in the beginning, he said, I breathe into the breath of life. Until God breathed upon something, there is no life. You're just dead men walking. Oh my God, I can be dead, but yet alive, huh? So we see this when God comes and he said, now you're not through yet. He said, because there's no breath in me. He said, now you call the Holy Spirit in. You call the Holy Spirit from the four winds. You call unto the wind. And he said, you prophesy in the wind. You preach unto the wind. And you prophesy unto the wind and tell it to come and breathe upon these slain that they may live. And he said, so I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them and they lived. and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. So until the breath of God came into them, until the Holy Spirit came, they were just dead men walking. But when the Spirit came, they became a great army. So I want to say this to you, that in this valley of dry bones, like I said, there was an incomplete deliverance. No wind, no spirit. And until he called it forth and they were filled with the Spirit. And then the scripture goes on to say that in, go down to 11 verse. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So it's when God breathed up into them the breath of life, and when the Holy Spirit came, that he was able to bring them out of their death state, and he was able to bring them into their own land. So when to God can get you to the, when God can fill you with the Holy Spirit, then God can give you your dominion. He can give you your place back. He can reposition you and put you back in the place that God intended for you to be. Adam lost his dominion in the garden, but God wants to give you your dominion back. God wants to give you your place of authority back in this earth. And I want to leave you with this because I want to set the stage for what I'm going to teach you the next time I come on. God wants to give you your dominion and your authority back. And in order for him to do that, there is a process that you must go through. It doesn't come just like that, he said, but there's a process that you must go through. There's a place where he has to get you back. And he said, I want to reposition you and give you back your land. And then once I give you back your land, I'm going to teach you how to cultivate it. I'm going to teach you how to be successful. I'm going to teach you how to be to dominate in the systems of this world, in the seven cultural mountains. I'm going to teach you how to take authority. Hallelujah. But unless you have the Holy Spirit, you won't have that. You will not have that option. You will be living in your flesh. You'll be living by man's means and by your own sweat of your brow. But unto God, when God breathes back the Holy Spirit into you, he'll bring you back to that place. He'll bring you back to your Garden of Eden. So I want you to meditate on this, because God wants to bring you from religion to relationship. And believe me, that relationship is full. When you hear me say that word relationship, he wants to bring you to in correlation with him. He wants that. That's a give and a take. When we say relationship, there's a give and a take. That means that God is getting ready to fill you. God is getting ready to make your life full. There's a give and a take. It's not, some of us have been in places where we've just been drained and pulled and taken from. But God, that's the place of religion where you're constantly trying to be all that you need to be. You're trying to do it in your own strength. But God said, in this place we call relationship, it's a give and a take. He's going to be pouring out and pouring into you. You will minister to him and he will minister to you. Hallelujah. And people are going to ask, where did you get this second level wisdom from? Your decisions that you will make on your job, the things that you will do will not be of this world, but it will be otherworldly. And I don't mean that in a mystical sense. There will be a second level of wisdom. There will be a wisdom, that a heavenly wisdom that man don't have. Because the scripture says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. And God will give you intricate secrets. He will show you, how do I maneuver this? How do I become successful in this arena? How do I take and dominate? How do I infiltrate this world system and take back kingdoms and dominions for God? How do I do that? How do the world seize me? Hallelujah, glory to God. So I just wanted to encourage you today. I want you to stay tuned, because I want to speak on more of this religion versus relationship. It wasn't what you thought. See, most people, when they preach about that, they're talking about, oh, you know, you're trying to live in your own strength, and they're talking about sin. But I want to talk to you about that level, that once we get away from that place, when there's another level, this is the meat of it. That's the milk of it. I know that I'm not supposed to sin. And once I get the Holy Spirit in me, then God wants to bring you to a place of dominion. Once he renews your mind, he brings you to a place of dominion. And we'll talk about that on the next part two of this, because I want this is something. And as I said earlier, I want you guys to go follow me on the Regina Perkins Show on Facebook. I promise you, I'm going to put some teachings up there. I'm going to put some things up there, and some people probably may not be something that you've heard before. I'm going to introduce you to some teachings and some things, because we need to know that God still moves in the supernatural. He said, I confirm my word with signs and wonders. Let's stop talking about it and be about it. And the reason why we're not seeing the miracles and signs and wonders, because we're in religion and not relationship. We're not able to call those things as be not as though they were. We're not able to decree and declare a thing because of the covenant vow that we have with God, and it be established. We're doing it, but is it coming to pass? We're not able to open up those doors and kick down those doors that God has given to you. We're not able to govern this earth. Oh my God. We're not able to take dominion in this earth because we've allowed religion to be our goal. We have allowed ourselves to go and become a part of a system. We go to church, we sing in the choir. We're a good usher. We go to all the Ladies in Red programs. We do everything that we're supposed to do, and we become inoculated into a system, but we forget about our relationship with God. And once we forget about our relationship with God, and some of us think that we're okay, and sometimes God may have to remove you to let you know, to remove you out of some things, and God allows some things to happen to get you back to that place with Him. Hallelujah, glory to God. And some of us look at God, oh, grace, God is a God of grace. God wouldn't do that. But you know what God reminded me today? He said, go to the book of Jonah. Did I not put Jonah in a fish because I gave Jonah a command to go preach my word to Nineveh? And when Jonah didn't go preach the word to Nineveh, the Bible says that he went to Tarshish and got in a ship. And so when he went to Tarshish and got in a ship, the scripture says the wind and the storms came. And the men wondered, why are you sleeping, oh sleeper? That's what they said. You down there sleeping in the hole, and the storm is about to take us out. Call upon your God. And Jonah told him, he said, I'm the reason why you're in this. Because God wants me, not you. So he said, throw me overboard. So when they threw him overboard, then the storm ceased for them. And Jonah was put in a fish. And took Jonah was 3 days. The Bible says 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. And he prayed. He said, to the weeds, come pass me round about. And he was tormented. And he prayed, and God released him out of the fish. And the Bible says when he was released out of the fish, it took Nineveh was a 3-day journey, but Jonah got there in one day. Jonah was ready to go do what God had called him to do. So yes, God is a God of grace, and God is a grace God of God is a God of mercy. But God also, when you become a disciple of His, when God has a calling upon your life, when God has chosen you for an assignment, oh my God, the pressure and the duty of that assignment will push you. It will convict you. Hallelujah, glory to God. And you will never find your full peace till you get to that place of relationship with God. So I just want to thank you all for joining me today. I hope that blessed you. I hope that you come back and listen to the second part of the series. I want you to go connect with me on my page. So I may come on and do some teaching on this on my page. I want you to connect to it so God can grow you and show you the things that He wants to bring you into in this season of your life. It's time to stop talking about it. Let's make a partnership. Let's get together. Let's grow together. Let's do this thing so God can take us to another level in Him. I'm tired of talking about the same thing over and over. It's time for us to move into those things of God. God is Jesus is on His way back, and we have not did the assignment that He has called us to do. So I am freeing my hands to do what He's called me to do. I'm doing what God has ordained for me to do, and I pray that you do the same. Have a blessed day. Make sure you go, once again, follow me on Instagram. Follow the Regina Perkins Show on Facebook. Follow my personal page, Regina Perkins. Also, you can catch this podcast. I'm on Anchor. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Spreaker. I'm on Google. I'm on Pocket Cast, Overcast, wherever's a podcast, I'm probably there. Forgot the Radio Public, I'm there. So I pray this all bless you. I hope you have a blessed day. God bless. Good morning. Good morning, people of God. This is Regina Perkins. This is your host of the Regina Perkins Show. Thank you guys for logging on this morning. Thank you all for joining in with me this morning on this today's episode of the Regina Perkins Show.
I just wanted to come on and offer you some quick encouraging words this morning. I hope your day is going well. Hallelujah. I hope that God is blessing you, and I hope that He is meeting every need and every desire. The scripture says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. And so that means that while you're praising Him and giving Him glory and just delighting in who He is and what he is to you and what He has already done, we don't have to ask Him to do anything because He's already done enough when He died for us. So if we just delight ourselves in those things and all of the great things that He has already done, He said that He would give you the desires of your heart. How many of you know we have a God, we have a Father that will spoil us. He will spoil us rotten. He will give us those things that we didn't even think that He even heard us pray about. You know, it's not sometimes we pray for big things, but it's when I see God do the little things. Hallelujah. When I see God do things that only He knows about, only He knows about the little small things that would just make me happy. Hallelujah. Maybe someone walked up to you and just gave you your favorite piece of candy. Hallelujah. And it was just an indication that God knows the very small, minute details of your life, and that He pays attention to even those small things. He pays attention to those things, and that makes us even know that He loves us even more. Hallelujah. So I just want to bless you this morning. Praise God. Even as I start talking about this topic that I'm getting ready to speak about for just a few moments to encourage you, I just want to bring you in closer to some things that I was thinking on and meditating on yesterday. And God began to minister to me about my mindset and how I saw Him, just even on today, how I view Him, and to begin to check and see if there were some things, some ideologies, if there were some, I'm looking for the right word, if there were some ways of thinking that were really not who God really is. You know, there's a lot of myths in the body of Christ that we've come up with. And we have come up with all kind of conclusion about God, and some of the things in our belief systems and our systems need to be torn down because it's not who He is. And sometimes we can get so caught up in what we've heard throughout the years from others, and we never stop to question some of the things that we hear, and we never question those things, and we take those things in as truth because and as authority in our lives. And they begin to steer us. They begin to guide us, and they begin to shape everything that we do. They shape your entire lives. And then we come to find out that some of the things that we believed were incorrect. They were in error. And so here you is with this faulty belief system, and you're trying to figure out and praying and asking the Lord about things, and it's almost like we look at God and we blame Him for things that did not have anything to do with Him at all, but it has something to do with your faulty belief system. And even as the body of Christ, I look at the body of Christ, and so many people in the body of Christ, they struggle financially, they struggle with so many things, and they're praying to the Lord and they're asking God to bless them, and they're sowing seeds. And believe me, I'm a seed sower. I love to sow seeds. I'm a giver. The scriptures commands us to give. He said, "Giving it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom." He says, "The liberal soul shall be made fat." So we shall give, we shall be givers. And the scripture even tells us, He said, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house." And He said, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you didn't have room enough to receive." So God commands us to give. But I think where we get mixed up is that when we give unto the kingdom, and sometimes we sow in an expectation that God is going to do A, B, C, D, and E, F, and G. And if it don't happen, we look to God and say, "God, I gave. Why didn't you give back to me?" And what we have to understand is that sometimes when we sow seeds, that God doesn't bring it back to you in the form of that seed. Sometimes God will bring it back to you as an idea. And God, you may give, and God may give you an idea and say, "You know what? I want you to start baking cookies and sell cookies." And we'll discount the idea because we feel like God should come in and drop money on us miraculously. But God is giving you the tools because He said, "It is me that giveth you power to get wealth." So He's giving you the tools to get what you need. The scripture says, if we don't work, we don't eat. And so I think sometimes we think that God is just supposed to take care of our every little whim and every little pleasure and every little desire, and God will do things for you in that manner. But he also wants you to have an effort, because the scripture says faith is dead without works. So we have to be in a place where we can hear the Lord, and he begins to give us ideas. We begin to give us witty inventions. He begins to give us things that I've been even asking, Lord, give me things that no one ever heard of. I don't want to be a replication and be a duplicate of everybody else that I see, and everybody's doing the same thing. Whatever I do, I want it to have your signature on it. I want it to be authentic. I want it to be unique. I want it to be who you have created me to be. And I want it to be able to be something that has been God breathed, something that has been given from heaven, that will bless the people of God in a unique way that is unique to me and my makeup and who you have made me to be. Because how many of you know, none of us are exactly alike. Everybody has something uniquely and innate that makes you who you are. And our problem is that we try to compare ourselves to others, and we try to do what they do. But don't do what they do, because if that's not what God is called, if that's not the lane that God has called you in, there won't be any anointing upon it. And what we need to do, instead of trying to focus on our weak points, more so focus on your strengths. Because those things that you're strong in are those things that will bring you joy, those things that will bring you prosperity. And prosperity is nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. Those are the things that will bring you into that place that God has called you to, and will ultimately bring you to your destiny, which will ultimately prosper you and bring you to the level, even in your finances, that you're looking for. So God begins to plant seeds. He begins to give us pathways to where we're on our way to. He'll say, do this and do that. And it begin to build up on each other. It begin to build, and you begin to say, okay, God, I see why. Okay. And he begins to dig things out, and he begins to show you, and you'll see your life begin to unfold. And what seemed like a mystery and a puzzle will all of a sudden begin to make sense to you. I hope you understand everything I'm trying to say here, because I want you to get this, because some of us are bound today. Some of us are in depression today, and we're trying to figure out, God, why is this not working for me? When we need to go back to the blueprint of our lives, and we need to consult our Father and let him show us exactly who we are. And when God begins to pinpoint that thing, when he begins to highlight some things about you, hone into it, press into it. And when you begin to press into that, God will begin to birth it out, and things begin to come from that. That you saw in seed form will begin to germinate and to grow. And next thing you know, you have a full-grown plant. You have a full-grown flower. You'll have everything that you thought was not in you. It's there, but it's in seed form. But we need to focus on those things that he has uniquely and innately gifted you with, that you can get to that place. And so I think of my own self, because it was years I said, God, I don't understand. What am I supposed to be doing? And because I was looking at what others were doing in corporate America, and I was looking at what my friends were doing, and I said, Lord, where do I fit in this? Because I know I didn't like that. But God began to minister to me and let me know the thing that I've called you to do. I've called you to minister to my people. I've called you to preach to my people. And that is where you will start. That is where your calling is. That is where your gifting is. And God said, now take that and run with it. And when I began to launch from who he made me to be, then I found out that that was the gift of counseling. I found out that I'm able to advise people and give them direction in their life. I found out that I'm able to push people to their purpose, and I'm able to bring people out of the place they're in and show them who they are. I'm able to make people get to their place in life. I'm able to guide and lead them there. And now I begin, and I find joy in that. And God said, if that is what you find joy in, Regina, this can bring blessing to your life. Use it and launch from that. Launch your ministry, launch your career from that perspective, and use it for the glory of God. And God will bless you immensely, because it's the gift that he's given me. The scripture says your gift will make room for you and bring you before great men. So I pray today that you would think. I want you to sit down in a quiet spot today, and those things that have irritated you, those things that have angered you, and you said, Lord, why am I here? Begin to pray and ask the Lord, what should I be doing right now, God?
if I'm on a 9-to-5 job and I desire to leave that job, begin to ask the Lord to give you a pathway. Begin to build something when you get off work. I'm telling you, it'll bring joy to your soul. Begin to let him show you what it is. If you want to go into entrepreneurship, don't just quit your job, but just let God begin to minister to you and take that strength that you have and begin to do something on the side. Maybe put you up a website. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to go in some more areas that I don't want to talk about at this point. And I will come back later and talk about this, but go set you up some things, because sometimes, and I'm talking to preachers and leaders right now, sometimes as preachers and leaders, sometimes we can get caught and we think, oh God, this is all I have to offer to preach to the people. And we don't have the money or the finances we need. And God is telling you to branch out. He's telling you to take those gifts and talents and use them for the kingdom of God. Some of us know some things that some of us can administrate some things that we have been in church so long, in church secretaries and all this kind of stuff. We've learned so many things that we're not understanding. God, you can utilize those gifts for the kingdom. You can utilize it, and God will bless your finances by using those gifts and talents. Oh my God. So yeah, this what I'm talking about. And I said, Lord, finances is what I need to focus on right now, to get my finances, because so long I had my head in the sand. And thank God for ministry, because that is what he's called me to do. But God say, I want to bless you in another manner as well. Take those gifts and talents and take them out amongst the four walls. Hallelujah. So God doesn't want you broke. Let me get that off you. I'm going to say that one more time. God doesn't want you broke. I'm going to say that one more time, because I want you to get this. God does not want you broke. He does not want you in the struggle. We preach about Lodabar, but he don't want me living in Lodabar. God wants to take you to another level in him. He wants to elevate you. He wants to give you the resources that you need to start that business. He wants to connect you with the right people. He wants to bring joy and pleasure in your life. He said, if you obey and serve me, you would eat the good of the land. God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to see life in a different light. I come to bring joy to your soul this morning, because somebody's been down and out because they gave up. But I'm telling you right now, God wants you to get up from that low place, and he wants you to see, okay, where is that low hanging fruit that I can grab? It's something that you see right now, and it may look like a glimpse, but once you turn that corner, once you see it, look further and deeper in, reach for it, and God will begin to open it up and show you all of the facets and all of the things that he's had for you all this time. So I pray this has blessed you today. This is a glorious day, y'all. This is a glorious time we're in right now. And God is calling us out of the four walls of the church. God is putting and positioning us in places of power. God has gifted us, and God has gave us talents that and skills. And we're sitting here and we're holding them in our hand. And God wants you to bring those things out. I'm feeling this in my spirit. God wants some of y'all. God got some things in your belly. God got some things in the inside of you. He wants to give to the people of God. He wants to bring it to the world. He wants to bring it out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even now, somebody's giving birth to that vision, that dream, your purpose and your destiny. You're giving birth to that. Don't be afraid of it. But go forth in it. Even if it seems big and looming and large, like, God, how can I accomplish it? Go ahead and do it. Start, because it's not big as what you think it is. Go ahead and allow the Lord to prepare you for this season of prosperity and plenty. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray for your people this morning, God, that this word will bless their soul. That they will take what they've heard this morning, God, and that it has been a seed. And not only have the seed been planted in their hearts this morning, I'm praying that someone else will come along and water it. And God, you said you would give the increase. That they would not hear this word just once, but they would hear it again. And you would confirm this word, God, and you would build up on this word and show them the way out of their situation. Show them that way of escape. Because God, you said you would not put more on us than we could bear. You said with every temptation that you would make a way for us to escape. So I thank you for the escape for them today. I thank you that even this morning when they were feeling down and out, when they heard this word, that they began to feel the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. I pray this morning that this has been a wind that is breathed upon them this morning, that this wind that I've spoke this morning, because you said your word, it is spirit and it is life. So I decree and declare through this podcast this morning, through this word this morning, that your people will be blessed, that they would hear this word and that it would cause an absolute change, an absolute metamorphosis that begin to take place on the inside of them. That seed that was buried under doubt and despondency and discouragement will come out, and that seed will begin to germinate. God, it will begin to grow, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak that right now, that it shall, that it shall not die, that their dream shall not die, but it shall go forth and be birthed out and bring glory to the kingdom of God. I speak that in the name of Jesus. Those that are feeling left out and rejected, those that are feeling like, I can't do this by myself, God, you said you are a majority. You said you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. You said you will be a friend that stick it closer than any brother. Thank you, Father God, that they will find out in this place of silence that you are in that you can birth those things forth. They would not be contaminated and polluted by the opinions of others, that they will go forth in your name, God. And so, Father, we give you praise this morning, God. We give you glory this morning, Father. And we thank you for this word, God. We thank you that this word that has went forth, that was a practical word, that was a word that would cause them to come out of their place of despondency. And Father, we give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. I pray that you have been blessed by this word. I pray that God has released some things on your behalf this morning, that some keys was released this morning. God just dropped some stuff on you this morning. I discern it in the spirit. He just dropped some stuff on you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh my God. There's a wind on this word. And I pray that God moves you forward in Jesus' name. Be blessed, people of God. Remember, go to follow, like, and share Regina Perkins on Instagram. I'm Regina Perkins on Facebook. Also, go check me out on YouTube. Regina Perkins, I'm on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel up. If you want to hear some of my sermons, check me out on Spotify. Spotify is now broadcasting my podcast. There's only a couple on there because I've not completely transferred them all from Spreaker, but you can still go to Spreaker. You can definitely go to iTunes. All of my podcasts are there. So if you go into Spotify and you only see a couple, it's because all the rest of them have not been transferred, but they're all, but go to Spreaker, Spreaker is my main source where I begin. You can go to Anchor, Radio Public, anywhere that you that there are podcasts, Regina Perkins is there. So listen in. I have some old things on there. Listen in to Regina Perkins Show. I hope you're blessed by it. If any of you maybe want to be on the show for interviews or interview purposes, inbox me, let me know. I hope this has blessed you. I'm looking to bring some more things. Also, I've started the Facebook page, Regina Perkins Show. Please go there, because there I will have more in-depth teachings, more videos, things on the supernatural, things that most of the time people don't want to talk about in the church. It's time for us to be empowered. It's time for us to know more than what we know. God is involved in all of these things. God said miracle signs and wonders. God still are doing those things right now. God is still healing. God is still delivering. None of this has stopped. So you go to my show page, Regina Perkins Show on Facebook. You'll find additional videos and teachings that I'm going to post up. So you guys follow me. You know, I want to be able to do some great things in the kingdom. And I hope you were blessed. Be blessed today. God bless you. Bye-bye.